You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts. Well, hello and welcome to the China Shop. Everybody get inside, step on in. I'm Shopkeeper Dan. With me as always is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How you doing today, Kyle?
I'm doing twice as good. Twice the recording time, twice the energy. I love it.
What? Kyle, I've never had recording difficulties in my life.
It used to be me that had them all the time, so it's okay.
Yeah. I'm just glad that you're still alive and not dead, as I feared might be the happening case.
Yeah, I thought I was having a kidney stone, but turned out to be a back spasm. So it took 2 days to figure it out before I finally took a muscle relaxer and actually alleviated the pain. But feeling much better now.
Yes, excellent. And you don't have to go through the pain of childbirth without your penis.
Yep, right. Yeah. Is that the more painful part or is it the kidney part? I think it's the kidney part that hurts more. I guess it depends on how big the stone is.
I don't know. I've despite drinking gallons of soda a day, I've never had a kidney stone.
Right.
Or maybe it's all that soda that's dissolving the kidney stones, keeping me tip top.
Or your kidney.
Yeah, I probably just have good kidneys.
No, you're dissolving your kidney.
Come on into the shop with us today, folks. Sit back, relax, rage against the hedge machine. We'd like to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here smashing our way into a complete set of fine china, sharing our ever-growing strategies for, well, really, we're just sharing how much you need to learn technical analysis.
And how much it will cost you if you don't.
If you're new to the shop and stock trading in general, you can always check out the Knowledge Center there on financialineptitude.com. Or, my favorite, you can give one of our beginning trading episodes a listen. We'll have all those links in the episode description. But really, the best place to be, hop on our Discord server. Kyle and I get on there every day. It's really just awesome hanging out. Not only sharing stock charts and technical analysis, but that's where we initially share our news and hang out, talk. It's just a great time, always better with friends. We'd love to see you on there. And when you do join the server, send us a private message or email with your mailing address, and we'll send you a Smash It Yourself mug straight from the shop, or even a shot glass. We're just really glad you're here.
Or both.
Or both.
Probably
yeah,
both.
We're just glad you're here. I'm joined today in the shop by two rambunctious dachshunds. I apologize. Yeah, we're just so glad you're here. It's always better with friends. Everything's better with friends, Kyle. Hey, we got any shop news going on?
So we were supposed to talk to Matt Rayner last week, but the aforementioned issues I was having, we ended up having to reschedule that to mid-November. We did briefly chat with them. I think he's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Real good personality. Yeah.
Very, very excited to talk to him.
Yeah. So in place of his episode is going to be the beginner technical analysis with Dr. G.
Dr. G.
So we'll release that this week. That was a lot of fun, too.
Yeah.
And he also answered some of our burning dentist questions.
Yes.
Rounding out the rest of October, we got Anthony Fatsies and Changebridge. And then in November, we've got Alan Sama, another crypto expert, and Deborah Ellis of Cogent Advisors. After that, really excited to talk to Deborah.
Yes.
Because she has a background in the movie industry, and we might be able to get some momentum on our movie script idea.
Yes. As long as we don't have to write the script and we just do the idea. We're the idea men, right? We don't do any hard work.
Yeah, I was wondering if we should actually have that written before we try to, you know, sell it.
Wait, you mean finish a product before you try to sell the product? That's crazy talk.
I know, right? We've never done that. We've also never sold anything. anyway, yeah, a lot of good stuff coming.
A lot of good stuff. Stay tuned for that. But today, we've got a delightful, delirious, debutante, dare I say, episode.
I was going to say double. Yeah.
Ooh, double. That's a shot at me for needing to re-record. Yeah.
It's only the first 11 minutes.
Yeah, somebody had tech issue problems and had to restart. Oh, we got We got lots of market moving news, plenty of stocks on the radar, and more options than people killed by James Bond.
That's a lot of people.
Yes, yes.
What about more options than James Bond's lovers that have been killed? Is that still a lot?
That still is a lot. Yeah, I think if you either try to kill James Bond or fuck James Bond, you are going to die.
Yes. Which one has the worst? Which one has the higher death rate is what I'm curious about. Because it seems like it's 1-to-1 of sleeping with them. Like every now and then, you got to let a guy live.
Listeners, let us know on the Discord because we'd love to know that ratio. Any big James Bond fans out there?
Has anyone actually gone out and crunched the numbers?
Right. Right. Yeah, so reach out. We love your messages and comments, obviously. We're begging for them with the James Bond shit. We love them on Twitter, Facebook, Discord. If you're old school, you can send us an email to the number 2bulls@financialineptitude.com. Or you can give us a phone call, 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made. Or maybe you and your elite special forces partners have been framed for a crime you didn't commit. And now you're living in the underground, taking jobs one by one.
Taking jobs, huh?
Yeah, you know, like Hannibal and
yeah.
Face and BA.
I assumed you were going with A-Team.
Dun, 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 dun. Copyright. Dun, dun, dun. Infringement. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about some news.
Okay.
Well, we all know why we're listening today. The shop is bursting with the week to replay. So sit back, we got some market affairs. Get some stories for the bulls and the bears. Clowns running companies, laws change overnight. Here we are, it's time for China Shop News. Yeah, now, it's time for China Shop News.
All right, what do you want to talk about?
I think you should lead us off. I think you've got the bigger story.
Well, the first one is a story that my wife actually sent to me. It's a really good read, but it's talking about the everything shortage and just how... Because we talked about the container ships stacking up outside of L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just talking about just how bad this shortage is and how many things it's actually touching. So, I mean, supply chains are basically overloaded pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
There's the traffic jam at the California ports. It's gotten to the point now where reserving a container ship, a container that holds 35,000 books, used to cost $2,500. Now it costs $25,000.
Tenfold increase.
Yeah.
What?
Shipping a parcel from Shanghai to LA now is six times more expensive than shipping one from LA to Shanghai.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's all has to do with the direction, because all the goods that come from China coming to the U.S. are just, like I said, backed up. And it's not just the container ships, it's also the rail cars. Rail cars are sitting around parked at West Coast ports. Since they can't unload their goods, they can't go back and collect more stuff from the filled warehouses in the interior. So it's just kind of exacerbating that. Then even the truckings, there's about 60,000 drivers shortage in the Truck Driving Association. I'm not sorry.
Yeah.
60,000 drivers are short, according to the Minnesota Trucking Association.
I used to drive trucks, and I've had recruiters call me
mm-hmm.
over the last year, and I've been like, yeah, I'm not a trucker anymore. Sorry.
Everything seems to be tied into just this labor shortage that's going on, and I think we even have some numbers in the payroll that I wanted to kind of touch on too. That kind of ties in with this. We got the September payroll numbers, which was a miss.
Oh, we've got. I think that's another. Story I want to get to.
Well, okay, we can talk a little bit more about it, but I want to talk about some of the numbers on here real quick that just kind of stuck out to me. I'm trying to find it here real quick. The gap between the size of the labor force in February 2020 to last month's is over 3 million. Like, there are 3 million more people employed in February 2020 than there are as of the latest report.
So we're still down 3 million workers.
And it's not like there's not jobs, just nobody wants them now.
Well, we'll get to that story. I want to keep talking about the supply chain stuff for a second. One of the things that we've seen in our lifetime is a switch to almost instantaneous supply ordering. And what I mean is like, when we were kids in the 80s and 90s, a company had to forecast how much of a good they might need
mm-hmm.
with and give enough time to ship it and get it to their store,
right,
to keep things on the shelves. But as the technology and the internet's increased, we've hit a point where, like, I remember working retail in Cost Plus World Market, where like somebody would buy something and it would be on the truck within the next week back in the store.
Right.
Like there was no, the store having a big back stock. Like if you remember, like, we'll check to see if you have it in the back. Like that's not really as big a thing anymore because everything is so instantaneous. It's like, well, oh, we need more of those. Like,
well, it's necessary. It's necessary. It's cheaper to, if you can get it quickly enough, it's cheaper to have the supplier basically maintain the stock for you rather than to have space tied up.
Exactly.
Holding all this stuff that's not getting sold yet.
Exactly. And if you're able to do that, thanks to technology, we have been so far.
Right.
I can't remember the exact name of what they call it, but it's basically
efficiency.
It is. It's hyper efficient. Mm-hmm. But as we're seeing, it doesn't take much to break that supply chain down.
Well,
whereas before it would have taken more.
To me, this is all tied to the labor market and the shortages.
Yes.
And there's two things that I think that are kind of contributing to this. One of them, I pulled up the total U.S. population by age and generation.
Mm-hmm.
Gen Z is about 86 million. That's people from 1 to 21 years old. Millennials, 82 million. That's from 99 to 81. Gen X, from 81 to 65, there's 65 million. And then baby boomers, 65 to 1946, age 55 to 74, there's 68.7 million of those. And I think that's where the key breakdown is right now. I think that there's a ton of people that are at or close to retirement age that probably got laid off or due to the shutdowns from the coronavirus, coronavirus results, or what do you want to say? How do you word that? I think a majority of this group or this demographic got pushed out of the labor force due to the shutdowns from the coronavirus pandemic and probably figured out that they don't need to go back.
Yeah.
So there's a very large percentage of people that are at or near retirement age that probably weren't retired, probably figured out that, I don't need to work anymore.
And I think speaking to the younger generations, you know, you look at wage growth versus economic growth and wages have just stayed still.
That's the second key.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like the work value proposition, like it doesn't pay to live. if you can't get a job to afford to live, like, well, can't make it anyway. Why am I showing up to work?
Right. I think the key lesson to be learned right now is that if you're still in the labor force, you should be getting a raise, or you should be going for a raise. And if you're not going to get a raise from the person you're working for now, look around, because I'm sure somebody else will pay you what you want.
Yeah. Well, that's honestly part of why I took that leap. I was like, what's the worst thing happened? I go back and look for a job when companies are so desperate for workers.
Right.
I'll get paid a lot more. I'll get a raise just for going back to work.
Well, the troubling thing with the baby boomers, I think, going into retirement, which is what I think is happening. I've got nothing to back this up. This is just my pure speculation.
My favorite.
But I have seen, during my time in the steel industry, there's a general shortage of people entering into like the skill trades, like learning how to be welders or electricians or mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those jobs were filled by a very aging workforce, and if they're leaving now and there's nobody taking the place, if you want to get a really good job, go learn how to weld, go learn how to be a pipe fitter.
Yeah,
you know, they're not glamorous jobs, but you make six figures doing them, and there's a definite shortage on it.
Electricians too.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, just as recent as 4 years ago, my friend was redoing her house, and I was talking to the electrician, and because there were like days that he just disappeared.
Yeah.
And he came back and I was talking to him. He was like, everybody needs me so bad. I've got so many people calling, begging me. Like,
yep.
He ducked out for 2 or 3 days because somebody called him and they just offered him so much money to show up and fix their problem.
Right.
He was like, all right, well, worst thing that happens, if I do lose this current job, I got paid so much on this 3-day job, like, whatever.
Yep.
But then he was not fired because we also needed an electrician really badly to water the house.
Exactly.
literally no call, no show for 3 days, comes back and like, oh, thank God you're back. Please
right.
get to work.
Yes. No, please, please do my job. Yeah. So if you're still in the workforce and you're looking for a change, take a look at those skill trades. And if you're in a job currently and you don't think that, don't feel like you owe your job anything. How well did they take care of you during the pandemic?
Yeah.
Remember that. You're mercenaries.
Yeah.
There's no benefits to staying with the company for 30 years anymore. There's no more pensions. Once they switch to 401ks, then the mindset of the worker needs to be a mercenary. You go to the highest paid.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and speaking of jobs, I did have this this news story about the disappointing September jobs report.
Yep, that's probably the one I'm looking at, too.
Yeah, that came in 300,000 jobs short.
Yep.
Than what economists expected. But, you know, being a politician, our dear president has said, hey, jobs are up, wages up, unemployment down. That's progress.
Well, wages are up.
So what if we missed the analyst mark?
Yeah. Wages are up, though. 4.6% year over year. Yeah. Fastest growth since February. But they're also saying that that's probably affirming the inflationary pressures taking place across the U.S. economy.
Yes. It's not all just the labor shortage. It's also just because inflation, everything costs more.
But that's also a reason why you should be getting paid more.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked already about the housing rents, the way the rental market is going insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you don't already own your home, good luck.
Right.
Oh, shit. Yeah. So unemployment did go down probably because wages are getting up there. It's a record drop.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a misnomer, because when you look at the chart, the shoot up of long term, it was also a record spike. So
right. All right, what else you got to talk about in the news?
Energy prices.
Mm. Oil's been going crazy, hasn't it?
Oil has been going crazy. It's up 4% on the week. It's boosted U.S. prices to the highest in almost 7 years.
I love how when oil goes up, the gas prices immediately increase. But whenever gas prices go down, or oil prices go down, gas prices stay high.
Right.
Isn't that weird how that works?
Right. As other energy prices, like natural gas and coal, get more expensive, we're starting to see, apparently, some upside risks to this oil market, according to Bank of America.
Hmm. We're also expecting an energy shortage this winter too, aren't we? I mean, you've been seeing those stories popping up.
I have not been seeing energy shortage stories. Tell me more.
I don't have any stories to load it up, but the wife has been telling me about it's supposed to be a really brutal winter, and there's already issues with natural gas supply. So it's looking like this winter might be kind of ridiculous as far as heating bills are going to be.
Yeah, I definitely see that happen, like the fucking Texas last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so oil's up 4%. Worldwide demand's growing as economic activity tries to rebound.
Mm-hmm.
OPEC said that they're going to increase production. And then, of course, the U.S. government is actively monitoring energy markets, but it didn't announce any actions like releasing from our strategic petrolium reserves.
Does it say any of the rise in price has anything to do with the shutting down, like the Keystone pipeline?
No, the pipe.
I think a lot of our own drilling was stopped when Biden took office. So I wonder if some of that, the effects of those decisions, are starting to show up now.
Well, wasn't the Keystone, isn't that a newer pipeline?
Yes. But it also ended up costing a shitload of jobs.
Wait, creating the pipeline cost jobs or shutting it down?
Shutting it down cost a bunch of jobs, because that pipeline transfers a lot of oil from fields that were no longer allowed to be used.
Oh, I see.
I don't know. I'm spitballing again. Sorry. Finish your bow, because this is going nowhere fast.
I'm all. I keep trying to get through this story, Kyle, and then you just like, well, let me take a right turn to something I kind of know a little bit about.
There's something that I have heard in my head that I think I can contribute, but I can't.
Okay, so the U.S. has not said anything about opening our oil reserves, which are vast.
Right.
Prices are rising. Gas futures are up. But the backdrop is that supply is tightening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that OPEC's saying we're going to up production and then the price jumps up, it's like everybody seems excited. Like, oh, maybe we could get more oil. It's pushing prices steadily higher. You'd think the announcing that they're going to increase the supply would bring it down, but I guess it doesn't go down until the supply hits.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was wondering about that.
But like you said earlier, like people are really afraid the cold winter is going to strain our natural gas supplies, and I'm wondering if we should switch to, you know, coal, coal production.
No, probably not.
I guess China actually did order miners in Inner Mongolia to ramp up coal production.
Oh, really?
Because in China, they're like, oh, fuck, we don't have enough natural gas. We'll get some more coal in here.
I know China's been trying really hard to push away from coal.
Right.
So that's kind of surprising to see that, yeah.
Gas prices up in Europe, and I know that that Russia's probably making a lot of money right now selling all that natural gas to Europe.
Yeah, I remember when the gas prices were collapsing. I almost got the impression that the U.S. was kind of like behind that, trying to destabilize Russia.
Oh, like we wanted to fuck up their economy?
Yeah, because they are so heavily dependent on fossil fuel exportation.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, because that was about the time when Russia was trying to start flexing their arms again, their strength.
Yeah.
Flying their bombers into our airspace again, just probing and testing. I think they were also, weren't they trying to like take over Ukraine?
Yeah. Wait, are you saying Russia isn't our buddies?
I don't think they are. No, not really.
I don't think they ever have been and they never will be.
I feel like they're reminiscent of what the Cold War was and want to get back to the good old days.
Yeah. Oh, I know it's a total digression, but I kind of want to, too, because I remember being a kid in the 80s, and it was just so clear who the good guys and bad guys were. And it's like, well, Soviet Union, bad guy.
Yeah.
Western Bloc, good guy. Well, the world is so easy.
When they remade the Red Dawn, they had to do it with Chinese and North Korean soldiers. Like, I don't believe that.
you're right?
North Korea? No. Can't drop a starving 98-pound soldier with no shoes into America and think he's going to do anything.
Kyle, you are really pissing off all our North Korean listeners right now.
I have no problem with that.
You know, North Korea and Myanmar, two of our biggest markets.
We're going to get hacked.
I'd be excited at this point if
if we got hacked, that'd be awesome.
Government decide to hack us.
Probably get news out of that.
Yeah, right. All right. Should we...
Sponsors?
Should we move along?
Yes, please.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is proudly brought to you by Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage. They are an equal housing lender, you know, Kyle.
I do.
Sue Pullen is a certified mortgage advisor who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping so many homeowners, whether it's they're purchasing or refinancing, sometimes even a reverse mortgage if that's your game. Sue will help. Licensed in 27 states, reach out, see what Sue could do for you. Best way to reach her is just give her a call, area code 520-977-7904, or you can shoot her an email at spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number 206048. That email again is spullen@fairwaymc.com. That phone number, 520-977-7904. Reach out to Sue for all your mortgage needs.
And Two Bulls in a China Shop is a proud affiliate of the Trade Pro Academy. Mm-hmm. Trade Pro Academy is an educational platform that offers institutional trader development programs to new and experienced independent traders.
Woo-woo.
Which means you can finally learn to trade like the big institutions. We've got a great staff of highly knowledgeable, successful traders, and there's no better place that we've found to learn all you need to know to be a successful trader. Vico, George, Sarah, they're all great. You can find them online at tradeproacademy.com, or you can just use our affiliate link in the episode description, as it's a great way to support the show and improve your own knowledge and skills. That website again, tradeproacademy.com.
Yeah, good stuff. We gotta get Sarah back on to teach me more about order flow.
Yes, now that you signed up for Quant Data.
That's right. Now that I'm looking at it and I'm like, God, I don't think I'm using this right.
Speaking of Quant Data, if anybody's got any interest in that, they did share their discount link with us. You can find that in our Discord if you are interested in looking. Yeah.
Yes, TradePro has a affiliate pricing with them. I think it comes to $60 a month.
That ain't bad.
No, not if you know how to use it, which I do not.
Yes, that's kind of the key. Which Vico was kind enough to explain a lot of it, but I think Sarah would be another great, now that we kind of know something about it, be good to have her back.
Yes. Yeah, I think I need to sit down in front of the quant data with her and have her scream at my face.
Mm, nice.
Until I understand it.
Call you a stupid cunt.
I think that's how she learned it. Yeah.
People pay good money for that.
Which, to be fair, right. Which I hear a lot. It's just normally not so accurate.
Yes. All right.
Why aren't you learning this, Dan? Learn it.
Learn faster.
Learn faster.
All right. Should we play our crypto song?
Yeah.
Look at the news. What do you see? The cult of cryptocurrency.
Let's talk about some crypto, Kyle.
Good.
Crypto Kyle sounds like a superhero.
Doesn't it? All right. Well, you posted a story that I want you to talk about first.
Oh, well, you can talk about it.
Well, I didn't read it. So I'm going to be reading it as you're talking about it.
I'm assuming you mean the Department of Justice announcing.
Yeah, I just saw the Department of Justice and crypto, and I thought, fuck. Party's over. So what exactly are they doing? Like, what's their purpose?
So they've created a cryptocurrency enforcement unit.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody in the crypto area can feel safer now. The Department of Justice is on the beat.
All right. Great.
The National Cryptocurrency Enforcement Team, NCET,
mm-hmm.
will handle investigations of crimes committed by virtual currency exchanges, mixing and tumbling services, and money laundering infrastructure actors.
Uh-huh.
So, if you're not familiar, mixing and tumbling is when they're obscuring the source of the transaction, mixing it with other funds. It's basically an electronic laundering process.
Right.
So because crypto is used in like every ransomware attack demands their payments in crypto, literally every single one.
Right. Yeah.
So the DOJ has created, I want to call it NCET, NCET.
No, that's NSAIDs are like ibuprofen.
Oh, okay.
That's why.
This comes on the heels. The Treasury Department did issue sanctions against cryptocurrency exchange last month.
Yep, I remember seeing that. That was the first time they've ever done that too.
Yeah. So after that, then they were like, "Why don't we create an agency that to do this for us?" It's they're still building the team, right? They're trying to find people in their existing money laundering, like intellectual property, computer crimes divisions in the DOJ that also understand crypto, because that's to me that's the funny thing is they're like, oh, we don't know what crypto is. Like,
nobody does.
Anybody working for us understand this?
Yeah. And I bet you anybody who says that they do, they're probably gonna look into their past to see if they're money laundering or buying illegal drugs or weapons.
I know everything about crypto. Yes, and it seems you were...
This is all just a governmental sting program.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so they say they're doing it because they want to dismantle the financial entities that enable criminal actors to flourish and, quite frankly, profit from abusing crypto platforms. So they're doing this for us, Kyle, for us.
That's so nice of them. That's great.
Yeah. Mm. So, that's the first step. Every time I hang out and talk to people who are doing crypto and kicking ass in it, they never want to hear any news about how it might be
regulated.
Changing and regulated much more quickly than they'd hope.
Yeah.
I ran into a stranger that kind of became burgeoning friendship with this guy. He's a crypto trader. And I was talking to him about it, and yeah, very, very sunshine and happiness with crypto. And I was like, I don't know. China just shut it down. They could do that. He's like, that'll never happen. It's like, well, yeah, I would probably believe that, too, if I made a shit ton of money in crypto last year. But as a guy on the sidelines who's not emotionally involved, I see the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
China outright bans the stuff. And now the DOJ is like, oh, yeah, we're going to create a cryptocurrency enforcement unit. Gensler's talking about the digital dollar. Like, shit is going to get regulated.
Crypto is bad, except for ours.
Except for ours. Yeah, I just can't see the Wild West continuing much longer before it gets civilized, as it were.
Speaking of your crypto friend, are we going to get him scheduled?
Yes. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. We'll get him scheduled, get him on the show.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Is there anything else worth talking on in the crypto corner?
Yeah. Have you heard of Wrapped tokens?
No.
It's basically like a condom for crypto. No, I'm just kidding. Got to wrap your Bitcoin before you send it to a stranger's wallet, Kyle.
Right.
You don't know what you'll catch. No, it's not quite that. It's something they started doing. It's a pretty fairly new innovation. What it's doing is it's letting you like you can't trade Bitcoin on an Ethereum platform, right? Because they're different tokens.
Okay.
So the wrapped token is like, oh, we'll take this Bitcoin and we'll wrap it in Ethereum so you can park it on an Ethereum DeFi blockchain. So your Bitcoin can earn you 9% on the Ethereum DeFi if you wrap it in these tokens.
So what's the equivalent of that? Like if I was to take a bunch of pesos and wrap a dollar around them and then go trick my bank into thinking I'm using dollars instead of pesos?
Yeah, it does seem like that, right? Like, I don't want to actually exchange these dollars into pesos, but I do want to put them into the Mexican bank to earn Mexican interest.
Huh.
But I want them to always be dollars. So I will wrap them in pesos and put them in the Mexican bank, but they're still secretly dollars in their bank.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Crypto fans, reach out. Correct me if I'm wrong. I clearly don't have the best grasp of all of the crypto and the DeFi.
I don't either.
But it seems to be wrapped Bitcoin is a tokenized version of Bitcoin running on Ethereum. So the asset's pegged to the value of Bitcoin, but it's on the Ethereum blockchain.
Why? Why does it have to be so complicated?
I don't know. I don't know, but apparently the wrapped coins, Eric Bleeker, tech analyst at the Motley Fool, was recently talking about it. He was saying this effectively means users must put their trust in the custodian that's pegging the value of a wrapped token.
Oh, no, thank you.
Which is kind of antithetical to the decentralized idea of cryptocurrencies, he said.
Yeah.
I agree. So we got one story where the DOJ is like, we're going to step up and start regulating these places. And then another story that's like, yeah, we got this cool thing with wrapped coins, but you really better trust your fucking your system.
Maybe.
Like, well, yeah, the DOJ's on the beat.
Maybe that's the plan, is to keep crypto so complicated that the U.S. Justice Department will never understand it. It's a good plan.
Right. The Justice Department won't understand it until kids being born 10 years ago grow up and join the Justice Department.
Yes.
Like, oh yeah, I grew up with blockchain. I understand it.
Yep. That'll give us plenty of time to do what we need to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. All right, folks. There you have it. Stay tuned. Got a lot of exciting guests coming up. We're going to be dropping a beginner technical analysis episode soon with Dr. G. And until next time, happy trades.
Bye. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2BullsInAChinaShop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.